Good evening, everyone. It's my joy and a privilege for me to speak to you the Word of God this evening. First of all, I would like to greet all of you. On behalf of Grace Baptist Church, Pastor White is actually greet you guys, the church, and he would like to say that he's very thankful that you've allowed Pastor Carter to teach to in our Bible college. So we have their small Bible college, Pacific West Baptist College. That's the name. And Pastor Carter has been a big blessing to us, and he has been a big help in teaching the younger generations for the Lord's work. And also, I would like to explain myself. I came from Philippines, so obviously English is not my first language, and I speak two dialects in the Philippines, and I also speak our national language. So there's three of those languages, and definitely it's my fourth. English is my fourth, you know, language. So I would really appreciate, you know, have patience with me as I speak here in this church. So, just a little background before we will go to our passage this evening. So, I've been there like 30 years in the Philippines. So, I arrived in Canada last 2016, so it's like 3 years and a month that I've been there in Canada. So it's really fresh, and it's like I'm a newbie in that country. So, and also I've been into the Bible College for 8 years. So having 2 degrees, I've been finished, and also from 2017 I've the Grace Baptist Church called me to be the vice president of the Bible College. So it's a privilege to serve the Lord here in Canada. So it's really a great blessing, and also learning this culture, learning the ministry here in the North America. It's really amazing how God works here as well. Okay, so. And yeah, so that's about me. So, oh, I forgot to mention my name. So, I'm Brother Silver, so you can call me Silver. It's not S-I, but S-Y, because it's a short for Sylvester. So that's my real name, Sylvester Estrau. So I'm married to Irish, and actually it's been a year now since I've seen her face to face, because she's still there in the Philippines, and I'm still processing her papers to come here to Canada. So that's really a big challenge to us, and especially for a year of not being with each other. So that's my kind of short getting to know about me. So for you also. So it's again, it's my privilege for me to speak to you the Word of God. So let me invite you to open your Bibles as we dive into the Word of God. So First Chronicles. So we will go to First Chronicles chapter 21. I'll be reading verses 9-13. 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verses 9-13. See, if you're able to, I may request everyone to please stand, if you're able. And I will be reading here from verse 9 down to verse 13. And the Word of God says, "And the Lord spake unto Gad, David's seer, saying, Go and tell David, saying, Thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee. So Gad came to David and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, choose thee. either 3 years famine or 3 months to be destroyed before thy foes, while that the sword of thine enemies overtaketh thee, or else 3 days the sword of the Lord, even the pestilence in the land, and the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the coasts of Israel. Now therefore advise thyself what word I shall bring again to him that sent me. And David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. Let me fall now into the hand of the Lord, for very great are his mercies. But let me not fall into the hand of man. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we ask that you will allow your Spirit to move in our hearts today. Lord, we ask that you would give us understanding. And as we meditate upon your word, we ask, Lord, that you would give us the grace to live according to your word, and that you will bless each and every one of us, and that we may be able to live for you. Lord, we wanted to commit to you even the remaining time that we have this evening, and we commit to you all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Tonight we will look into the subject entitled Responding to Consequences. Responding to Consequences. Now, let me ask you, how many of us here tonight experience correction? Correction. Oh, I will raise both my hands there. Okay, so as a child, I've been into different correction with my parents. And, you know, sometimes it's like really, you know, taunt you to, you know, to get angry, right? So, but how many of us, you know, been into that correction and responded negatively? Oh, right, I got my two hands, okay, there. It's so, you see, a lot of people today, even young people, end up hurting themselves and people around them when they responded negatively to correction. I believe that there are parents here today, tonight I mean, and you will understand that when your child responded negatively to the correction, for your correction, it creates you know, a bad atmosphere inside the house, inside the home. And it's and end up sometimes, you know, the child goes into a rebellion and something like that. And there's a lot of people that we can see in different houses, in different homes, that they responded negatively into the correction of from their parents. But we also see a lot of people who submitted themselves to the correction. Now, when their parents tried to correct them, some of the, you know, the child, son or daughter, responded well and submitted to the authority of their parents. So they found joy and peace in their lives. And end up, you know, after... Have you been into that situation wherein, you know, when you grew up, or when you grew up and then you become an adult and you look back onto what happened back then, is it? No, it's really good that I've responded positively to the correction of my parents. So I've been in that situation as well. Let me tell you a story. You know, there's a about this submission, right? So there's a captain of the ship looked into the dark night and saw faint light in the distance. And immediately he told his signal men to send a message. And this is the message: alter your course 10 degrees south. And that's the message. Promptly, a return message was received. So, alter your course 10 degrees north. It's like opposite. And the captain was very angry during the time because his command has been ignored. And so he sent a second message and said, alter your course 10 degrees south. I am the captain of the ship. Soon, another message was received and says, alter your course 10 degrees north. I am seaman third class Jones. So there, you know, there's been a tension here, and then immediately the captain sent a third message, you know, knowing the fear it would evoke. And the message said, alter your course 10 degrees south. I am a battleship. Oh, they brag about, I am a battleship. Then the reply came, alter your course 10 degrees north. I am a lighthouse. So it's like, okay, you cannot do anything about that. If the battleship did not, you know, like really alter his course north, it would have been a great disaster. So a lot of people today, you know, we wanted to, you know, ask always about explanation to what the Lord has done into our lives. You know, there are things that happen into our life, and sometimes we cannot, you know, understand the dealings of God in our lives. So it is true because He is God, and we are man. There are lots of times that we cannot understand His will, His working, His dealings. But the thing is, if we submitted and responded to the will of God, and it ends up, you know, blessing and peace in life. Okay, so a lot of hurtful consequences in Christian life could have been avoided if only we responded positively to God's correction. You know, much of our success in Christian life depends on how we respond to God's consequences and His actions. You know, if we could have been, you know, there's a lot of things that we can remember. But, you know, past is already, we cannot undo the past. But what we can do right now and even for tomorrow is that we learn from our mistakes and what had, you know, when God corrected us, we should respond positively to the consequences. Because the bottom line is, you know, we are the ones who hurt ourselves. It is not God. You know, God does everything, you know, for our own good. Amen. You know, whether it be in our eyes, whether it be bad, whether it be, you know, good. You know, Romans 8:28. So, our challenge for us this evening is to respond positively to the consequences or correction of the Lord. Now, here in our passage, we can see the story of David. So, there's two accounts in the book in the Bible that talks about the sin of David. So, one is we know it already. It's like he committed adultery with Bathsheba and even murder her husband Uriah. And the second one is mentioned here in this passage. And also you can see the cross-reference for this in 2 Samuel chapter 24. Now I'm be dealing in this passage, 1 Chronicles chapter 21. Now David's sin was not directly about senses. But you can see here in verse 1, if you can follow there, and Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. Now if you try to think and ask of that and even observe, you know, what's wrong with counting people, right? We do census, of course. What's wrong with that? And there's two questions that, you know, you can think of in this passage when you're reading this. So there's two questions that will, you know, we can ask. Why did David choose to number the Israel? That's the first question. Right, and the second question would be, why was it such a grievous sin? Why do you think it's such a grievous sin? Now, of course, the first question it answered already here in verse 1. Satan provoked David to number the people. And we know that it is sin because in verse 3, in the ending of that verse, Joab said, "Why will he be a cause of trespass to Israel?" As you can see, we can now see that this is really sin against God. Okay, sin against God. And also, why it is grievous? Because in verse 14, it was mentioned there that there in Israel fell 70,000 men, died in that pestilence or plague. So really, it is sin against God. But why it was a sin? Well, throughout the accounts of the nation of Israel in the Old Testament, God always emphasized that His people should trust Him always. Okay, not into man. It's repeated always in the Old Testament. Even you can see that in the New Testament as the church now applies that principle and truth from the Bible. God wants His people to trust Him always. Whenever they trust God, what happened is God brought blessing and victory upon the nation. However, but when they disobey and trust man rather than God, they fall into destruction. You know, a lot of people died. There would be a great famine in the land. There would be a plague in the nation. So you can see that God actually wants the people of Israel to trust in Him. Now, because of this sin, we can see first the reaction of God. Now, in verse 7, it mentions there, what is the reaction of God when David sinned against God? Of course, we all know. In verse 7, and God was displeased with this thing, therefore He smote Israel. So that's what the verse 7 said. Why was God displeased in this situation? You know, because David, instead of relying on the Lord, he trusted his military power. God actually provided a way of escape so that David will not pursue in counting his people. Now, we can see that in verse 3 of this chapter. Through his friend or general, Joab. You know, Joab was used by God to hinder David to count the nation of Israel. But because he is a king, his word prevailed. His word prevailed. So when we are so determined, you know, just as a note for here, when we are so determined to something, you know, our tendency as a human is not to listen to advices. You know, when you try to think of that, we want to have this something, right? We want to do this, and except from you, there are people around you that knows that this is not right. And because of you are persistent about it, and you really want it, we don't listen to the counsel of our friends, counsel of your pastor, counsel of other people, godly people. So, remember in Jeremiah chapter 9, 23 to 24, you don't have to go there. But the word of God says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. That I am the Lord, which exerciseth loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." So that's the words of God to the nation of Israel. So if we go deeper into the matter of this account here in the passage that we have read, David's sin here is actually pride. Pride. His heart trusted to men rather than God. Now in verse 5, because of that census, he knew what's the number or what, you know, how strong he is.
You know, how strong he was during that time. And the Bible says in verse 5, and all that of Israel were 1,000,000 and 100,000 men that drew sword. Or we could say 1,100,000 men that drew sword. That's only in Israel. Now let's look in Judah. It says there, and Judah was 430,000 men that drew sword. Now, if you total it, it's like, you know, 1,500,000 military power. Now, if you have that military power, you know, nothing can stop you, actually. You know, I know that China has 1,000,000 of military power. The States, I think, is around 300,000, something like that. Military power. Compared to that, in China, like 1,000,000. Well, they have a lot of people there. It's 1,000,000,000 now. Okay, so you have to consider that as well. So, if you have 1,500,000, you know, that's big. It's like, okay, because of that, no nations can bring me down. You know, if you try to think of it, it's like a contrast of the little boy David. You know, remember when he was still little? He went before the big giant, you know, man. His name is Goliath. You know, he don't have 1,500,000 men during that time. No, he cannot count even into his fingers. But he only have 5 smooth stones. 5 smooth stones. My friend, if you have 1,000,000, you cannot trust God. 1,000,000 military power. But if you only have 5 smooth stones, you know, I imagine, you know, David, like, you know, praying really very well during that time. Why? Because he knows that who's the person that he's trying to face during that time. That guy, Goliath, there against 5 smooth stones. So he displayed a great trust in the Lord during that time. Now here, when he became a king, he had this great power. He trusted his power to men rather than God. You know, many people today thought that, you know, they don't want God. Why? Because they have everything. Now, I have my aunt in New Zealand. So, she told me that it's really hard to do a soul winning there. Why? Because every single individual there thought that they are sufficient in their life. Why do I need God? No, I have good house, right? I have a good job, you know. Every day I can eat. There's sufficiency in life, and that's why they don't need God. They feel like God is just a crutch, you know, something like a crutch in life. So it's very sad for people who think that way, but they don't think spiritually. Because Satan wants to entice us whatever there is in the world so that we will trust anything other than God himself. Psalm 119 verse 89, it says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. So David sinned against the Lord, and we can see that. And God will not tolerate sin in our lives. As the children of God, we know that he will not overlook sin in our lives. You know, if I know that you have some of us here are parents, you will also be displeased if, you know your son or your daughter be in not in the good path or not in the right path. You will be, you know, if they committed sin, you know, that's a normal thing that for parents to to react, that they are not displeased. And sometimes we get angry with what of their actions. And how much more if we try to see that in God's perspective. You know, seeing his son or daughter, you know, sin against him, you know, it really breaks his heart. But not only we can see the reaction of God here in this passage, the second one that we can see is the result of sin. You know, we have to think always that sin has consequences. You know, there's a saying, we can choose to sin, but we cannot choose our consequences on that sin. Right? But here in a rare occasion, I'm still thinking, and even until now, I've been in reading in the Bible, and then I cannot see a person that, you know, the same, you know, what happened to David here. In the verse, it says, David's sin resulted to death of many people of Israel. Now, in verse 12, it mentions here, this is the result of his sin. Either 3 years famine, 3 years, 3 months to be destroyed before thy foes, while that the sword of thine enemies overtaketh thee. Or else 3 days, the sword of the Lord, even the pestilence in the land, in the angel of the Lord, destroying throughout all the coast of Israel. Now, God gave three consequences that David had to choose from. It's very rare. Now, honestly, if like I'm kind of thinking of this to people, you know, it's really rare occasion that God will, you know, have this dealings. But you know, we cannot ask question God. Is this dealing to David? So there are three choices here: 3 years famine. Now I just summarizing this: 3 years famine, or 3 months of war, or 3 days of pestilence. You know, so we might wonder why David's consequences was so severe, right? And we end up here in the passage, to make the long story short, he chose 3 days of pestilence. Now, if we try to think of it, number one, 3 years of famine, David experienced it already. War, he's a man of war. You know, he knows from this first and second, you know, the difficulty of the lives of the people of the nation of Israel. And he chose rather to be in 3 days of pestilence. Now we should, and why is so severe then? That there are 70,000 men died in that just a moment. You know, when God permitted the angel to kill Israel, it's not yet 3 days. It's like, you know, God is not like, oh, you still have 2 days and a half day. So, you know, let's not stop there. Okay, but we know that God stopped the judgment after the killing of 70,000 men. So we should understand the severity of sin in the eyes of the Lord. You know, in the eyes of God, there's no... have you heard this? A venial and mortal sin? Something like that? It's like, you know, there's a light sin and then there's heavy sin. Roman Catholic actually believe on these things, like a venial sin and then the mortal sin. Now, in the eyes of God, even lie is sin. It's the same weight as the one that kills the person, as the one who do a grievous kind of sin. Probably in our eyes, you know, we have weight of severity and punishment to sin. But of course, in the eyes of God, sin is sin. He cannot, you know, he cannot say that, oh, it's okay, it's like, you know, a very little sin. No, God is a just God and a holy God, and he cannot overlook sin. And that's why it needs a punishment. So much so, it's very severe that even Jesus Christ died in the cross of Calvary to pay the penalty of our sins. That's how severe sin in the eyes of God. So it cost the life of Jesus Christ to be nailed on the cross. So also, when we sin, it is not just, remember this, when we sin, it's not just our, you know, we hurt ourselves. But remember, we will hurt others as well. And not only you, not only your family, even the church will suffer the consequence of the sin of an individual, of even one Christian. So remember this, that Satan works always 24/7. He doesn't stop. You know, he's not like us that, oh, it's 10 o'clock already, I need to sleep. No, he works always 24/7 so that he will always, we will always experience the result of our sin. But in the last year, we can see not only the reaction of God, the result of sin, but also the response of David. You know, for this, you know, you will agree with me that David is actually a man after God's own heart. Here, with his response, David responded with a broken and contrite heart. Now, in verse 8, it says there, "And David said unto God, I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing. But now I beseech thee, do away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly." Now that's how, you know, David. Now remember when he sinned against Bathsheba? He tried to hide from people. And even I think it's like 9 months or so. But of course, when Nathan the prophet went in front of him, of course, that time he acknowledged that he really sinned against God. But here, we can see when he knew that he sinned against God, he directly go to God and ask forgiveness. Now, this is a man who learned from his mistake. We can see that he learned from his mistake. He will not try to hide his sin, but he right away confesses his sin against his sin to God. We can, you know, Psalm, even in Psalm 51:3, in his one of his psalms, "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." Now, in verse 17 of that the same psalm, "The sacrifices of God are broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." In verse 13 here in this passage, we see that David, trusting God. A man earlier in the passage, trusting men, but now he realized his sin, and he now trusting the Lord again. Now, we usually trust God in our salvation. It's no question. You know, I trust God. I know that God saved us from our sins. And we knew that. But sometimes we can see ourselves, you know, in the moment that our faith will be put into trial, you know, circumstances in our life, difficulties, something like that. And we can see ourselves that we tend to magnify the problem rather than seeing who God is in our lives. So now in this kind of situation, remember that God is not just the God of our salvation. He's the God of every day of our life. He will sustain us. He will give us strength. He will provide us. You know, he will always do what is good in his people. So we should realize that he is our God, you know. And here in this passage, David learned that he is, God is a merciful God. In verse 13, he says, you know, "And David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. Let me fall now into the hand of the Lord, for very great are his mercies. But let me not fall into the hand of man." Now, David learned that God is merciful. You know, all all would have been destroyed. You know, all the people would have been destroyed except of God's mercy. Now, we should realize that God is merciful in our salvation. The Bible says He is our propitiation. God gave Jesus Christ as a payment for our sin. But not only is not a God of merciful in our salvation, but also in God's providence. Now, in every day of our life, circumstances, you know, always we can see that God is working in our lives. Right? In His providence. Yeah, and He said also when we tried to evangelize this city, evangelize this town, He is long-suffering, waiting patiently for unbelievers to be saved. And even to the backslider, He is waiting also for that person to go back and Him. So He is a God that provides, you know, in His providence. But not only that, He's a merciful God in our future. Psalm 136 verse 1, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." You know, we can't be so fearful in our tomorrow because we know that God is already there. He is there. He is there to help us in whatever situation that we will face for tomorrow. God will be our merciful God. And now in closing for this, you know, for this about the reaction of God, the result of sin, and the response of David, we see in this passage, first thing is the grace of God. God's grace. God giving David three choices, that is actually a manifestation of God's grace. It is the grace of God. Now, in other passages of the scripture, when a person sinned against God, you know, right away, judgment. Right? But David, He gave David three choices. Now, God showed grace to David also when He stopped the judgment. When He saw the nation of Israel, you know, men there in the nation of Israel died 70,000 men, He told the angel, "It is enough. It is enough." Even though it's not three days yet, He said, "It is enough." That's the grace of God. Joel 2:13, it says, "And rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil." But not only God is gracious, we can see in that passage, we can also see the love of God. You know, the love of God. We can see that God, you know, was able to forgive the sin of David. It's the same for us. He is faithful to forgive us our sin. You know, when we read always 1 John 1:9, right? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now we know that now when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, I will not be fearful because of my sin in the past, present, and future, because He paid it already in the cross of Calvary. But of course, it doesn't make us have a license to sin. But of course, God is faithful. He said He gives us the promise because He knows that moment by sometimes in our lives we tend to go into our path and we can still sin because we still in a human nature. Now we can sin. But the promise of in His word is that in 1 John that He is faithful to forgive us our sins. Now, so we don't need when we sin, go directly to God because we have a free access to Him. That's how loving our God is. He is willing to forgive us. You know, of course, if we come with a contrite spirit and contrite heart there. But lastly here, David, we can see also not just the grace of God, the love of God, but also the heart of David. The heart of David. You know, David responded in obedience and love. Now, God commanded him to go into the place, the threshing floor of Ornan, and build an altar there so that the plague will be stopped. Now, I like that place, threshing floor of Ornan. Now, if you try to go in history and try to compare scripture to scripture, that threshing floor of Ornan has a four important events that mentioned here in the Bible. You remember in Genesis chapter 22, when God commanded Abraham to sacrifice his son on that Mount Moriah, that's the very same place. That's the very same place. The very place also that Solomon built the temple, that's the very same place. And also when you go into the New Testament, that's the very same place where Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. That's Mount Moriah. And this, the place where David reared up an altar for a sacrifice unto the Lord. Even you go there, even to that place, the threshing floor of Ornan in the Mount Moriah, it's still there. And one day, Israel, the temple of Israel will be built in the millennial kingdom in that very same place. That place, you know, David did not choose that. God chose it. God chose that place, very same place. You know, so it's a very great place there. So 1 John 2:3, it says, "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments." Now our heart in response to the consequences of God should be obedience, not anger. You know, not bitterness in the sight of God. And that's what David showed here. But not only he obeyed the Lord, but he also manifested his love to the Lord. The person here who owns the place, he wants David to have it. Well, of course, he's the king. You know, he has the rightful to say, I will use your place. But I like what David mentioned here. And David said, and David gave to, he said that he will not offer anything to the Lord that cost him nothing. Yeah. That's a manifestation of the love of God. Now, a good action, outward action or manifestation of your love towards God is giving, actually. So he gave, he bought that place and offered a sacrifice to God. Now, if we go to New Testament, John 3:16, what does the Bible says? "For God so loved the world that he gave." It is God himself who portrayed that love to us, that he gave. So for us, of course, when we responded to God's consequences, we should obey him. And of course, we should also manifest it with our action, giving. What should we give? Romans 12:1, giving our bodies to God. You know, God needs us to serve him. I'm not saying just, you know, being a pastor there or a lady worker inside the church. In many ways, we can serve God with our bodies. God also wants our time. You know, Psalm 5:3, "My voice shall thou hear in the morning." When we pray to God early in the morning, prayer closet, we spend time in reading the Word of God. God wants our time. But not also that, it says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Giving our treasure is also one of the acts of love that we can show to God. Not only that, giving our talent. As what I've said, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he he gave. Now, I have a friend. I will just close in this illustration. I have a Christian friend in the Philippines who went through God's correction. And at first, he responded negatively because what happened to him, he was trying to live his life, you know, outside of the will of God. He knows what he is doing. He is a Christian, but he knows that he is not living for the Lord. And what happened to him, he met an accident during the time. It was a very grievous car accident that it almost took his life. Almost took his life. And then he prayed that, you know, if God will heal him, you know, he will come back and, you know, be faithful to God. But the thing is, God answered his prayer. But sad to say, instead of going to the right way, he went back again. He went back again and disobeyed to God. And then the second time, he met an accident again. And this time in a motorcycle. And it almost took his life also. But of course, and this time, now he learned his lesson. And he promised to God that he will be faithful Christian in the sight of God. And he, you know, in his life, even until now, he is serving the Lord. You know, why we should wait, right? You know, why we should wait in the correction of God. You know, there are sometimes people, God uses people to correct us. But you know, we should be fearful if God will correct directly your actions. Now, if God will correct my actions or your action or our actions, it's really tough, right? But of course, God is merciful. We know that already. And the question I will leave to you this evening, how will you respond when God corrects your mistake? Let us pray.